On the Capitol Press Room, we've paid a lot of attention during the pandemic to the childcare industry and the state's effort to ensure access to affordable care. But now we're going to focus on an important niche of this compendium of care: what happens to kids after school? To understand the challenges and opportunities facing this aspect of childcare, we're joined by Kelly Sturgis, CEO of New York State Network for Youth Success. Welcome back to the show, Kelly.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And also with us is Kyle Stewart, Executive Director of the Alliance of New York State YMCAs. Welcome back to the show, Kyle.
Hi, Dave. Thanks so much for having me.
So, Kyle, what's your experience been this fall trying to recruit staff or just maintain your existing personnel to staff the after-school facilities operated by the YMCAs in New York?
It's been our greatest challenge. In my 20 years working for the Y, I've never seen it this way. Retaining staff, as you mentioned, let alone to recruit staff, has been something that we've really struggled with this year. In fact, every one of our YMCAs, you know, there are 37 YMCAs across the state. There are hundreds of after-school sites at YMCAs. We have waiting lists at every one of them. And that's all due to the fact that we have staff shortages. So it's really been a challenge. We tried so many different things that we think are sort of out of the box and unique ways to recruit staff. But unfortunately, we're just not getting those applicants. And if Dave, if you're interested, we'll take your application.
Well, what are you doing, short of recruiting radio hosts, to fill those gaps? Who are you turning to? Because, you know, you do have kids that you are still serving.
What we've done so far that really is probably our most successful has been we've gone to our staff and we've asked our staff, hey, do you have family? Do you have friends that might be interested in working for the Y so that we can serve these families and take care of these kids? Some of the other things that we've been trying, really kind of different ways to recruit, all the way up to signing on bonuses for after-school programs, as well as increasing those hourly pay. So all of those things we're really trying to do while we compete with just rising hourly rates at a lot of other industries out there that are also looking for help.
And you noted in an email to me, Kyle, that you're utilizing senior-level staff in new and creative ways?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've looked at some of our, you know, executive level staff and said, we need some help in these after school sites. So, you know, certainly adhering to the HERO Act and certainly adhering to OCFS regulations, but we've really put a full court press on getting staff out into sites so we can serve these kids. And, you know, these full-time staff, they have other jobs as well. And so having them, you know, kind of sign off for 3 or 4 hours in the afternoon, it's kind of a vicious circle.
Kelly, are the conditions that Kyle's experiencing at his operations around the state emblematic of what the industry is facing more broadly?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with Kyle more. In fact, it's not just New York, right? We're hearing this from our partners across the country. This is a huge issue. All childcare modalities were really affected and hard hit by the pandemic, but school age in particular, it had the lowest closure rate of any childcare modality. And as a result, our professionals in the field found other places of employment. I mean, programs are competing with fast food chains who can offer better wages, full-time hours, and benefits. These are things that our after-school providers just don't have the financial capability to offer. And in some cases where they do, they're just not seeing anyone apply for these jobs.
So it sounds then, Kelly, like we've been heading to this point for a while now, and the pandemic just exacerbated underlying conditions.
100%. Even if you look at our state-funded after-school programs, they haven't even caught up with minimum wage over the years, let alone where we are now with this, you know, at the end of this pandemic or coming to the near end. And what we're seeing is that CBOs are trying really hard to try and figure out how they can both offer a high-quality program and pay for the supplies needed. And in some cases now they're having to pay an increased rental fee to school districts. Or are they going to pay their staff a decent wage? And so that's a really hard decision when they can't even afford to stay open in some cases. And New York had the perfect opportunity to really help out our community partners with the American Rescue Plan. We were given money from the federal government for both local education agencies and the state education department. And New York decided to give 100% of the state money back to the local school districts. And so as a result of not coming up with any sort of comprehensive plan on how we can support our community partners, they just turned it over to the local school districts, who in many cases are not taking advantage of these community partnerships. And so that money that was supposed to help them is not doing that.
Well, Kyle, on this show, we've talked a lot about the injection of federal cash into the state's child care system, dating as far back as the CARES Act of the spring of 2020 to additional funds in the December 2020 stimulus, and then again in the American Rescue Plan. And that money is going primarily through the Office of Children and Family Services. Has the YMCAs around the state, have they benefited from this in any meaningful way?
Yes, they have, and they've been a godsend. Those dollars on the Child Care Stabilization Fund has really kept our programs open and running. If it wasn't for those dollars to, you know, just continue to help us operate and work with OCFS and others to maybe even in the places when we can, where we may, I'm hoping in the future, be able to hire enough staff where we can even expand, because there's so many child care and after school program deserts around the state, I can really see a huge future there. But those dollars have been huge in just allowing us to continue to operate and serve the kids and families across the state of New York.
Kelly, is there anything unique about the after-school system compared to the child care system more broadly that the state needs to address if they want to shore up the system on a short-term basis as well as address its needs on a long-term basis?
Certainly. I mean, if you look at childcare in general, most of those positions are full-time. You look at after school, it's sort of those niche hours, and they don't always offer full-time or benefits. And so we need to offer other ways to incentivize folks. We need to be investing in our programs so we can offer higher wages. We need to be looking at our RFPs the state is putting out to make sure the personal allotments actually match what a high-quality program needs to operate. In most cases, they're so low that our providers can't even apply for these grants because they're going to lose money to operate them. We need to look at the market rate and ensure that we are meeting the needs of each individual community. And we also need to look at things like guidance, right? So right now we have some school employees that have the option to test out weekly instead of getting vaccinated, but those same school districts are mandating that our community partners can only hire vaccinated staff. So now when we're already looking at a staff shortage, to now have that on top of it is just further, again, exacerbating the issue.
Well, speaking of those vaccinations, do you have a sense right now of what the vaccination rate is like amongst the after-school staff in New York that exists right now?
I don't, but I do know just from speaking to providers all across the state that it really varies, and some pockets are having a much harder time, particularly the rural areas, in finding those vaccinated staff.
Right now, we're operating with this assumption that in-person instruction is going to be in place for the foreseeable future. But if for some reason schools or just a handful of school districts switched back to remote learning, how would that complicate this picture at all, Kyle? Or would it not complicate things and it might make your efforts to provide care easier?
It would really kind of depend on the scenario, what's happening with the school. And in some cases, we had, during the beginning of the pandemic, YMCAs opened their doors to remote learning. So the kids could not be in school, and there were school-age kids that could not be in school, but they still needed care because mom and dad had to go to work. We welcomed them at the Y. And it takes a lot of regulatory and sort of bureaucratic process with our friends over at OCFS, but we were able to make it work. And so, you know, I can see that as being a potential, is really YMCAs being able to open their doors, make sure that they are adhering to all of the guidance and all of the recommendations from the Department of Health, and able to help serve those kids that remote way right at the Y.
Well, we've been speaking with Kelly Sturgis. She's the CEO of New York State Network for Youth Success, and Kyle Stewart, Executive Director of the Alliance of New York State YMCAs. Kelly and Kyle, thank you both so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.